President Donald Trump addresses a joint session of Congress.
If he just stood at the speaker's rostrum and read off all his list of accomplishments since January 20th, we'd be there all night.
What can we expect?
I think the first is that he is going to talk about the significant accomplishments that he's achieved over the last 42 days in office. And then two, he will talk about aspirations again, the quote unquote, the golden age of America.
Today is Tuesday, March 4th, and this is The Issue from VOA.
I'm Scott Walterman.
And I'm Lori London. U.S. President Donald Trump will be addressing a joint session of Congress Tuesday night for the first time in his new term.
Jeffrey Engel is the David Gergen Director of the SMU Center for Presidential History and expects him to display a strong sense of confidence.
His tone, I think, is going to be triumphal. His tone is going to be, one might even say, imperial. President Trump has been saying consistently that he won a landslide election and a mandate from the American people. And the truth of the matter is, historically speaking, it actually was a very, very close election.
The address comes after Trump has signed a slew of executive orders in the first weeks after taking office, including several focused on slashing the size of federal government. The project, spearheaded by his largest campaign donor, Elon Musk, and his Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, has been a source of division, according to Larry Sabato with the Center for Politics at the University of Virginia.
You can be sure that half of the public will probably love whatever he says, and half of the public will absolutely hate whatever he says. And I don't think a speech can ever change that. Feelings run too strongly about Donald Trump.
While there will likely be debates about what Trump says, John Malcolm, who oversees work on the Constitution and law at the Heritage Foundation, doesn't think there will be any debate about how he says it.
I expect that he will be respectful but pointed. He was actually, I thought, fairly measured in all of the other State of the Union addresses that he gave during his first term. But I think he's going to focus on the themes that he has been displaying at an incredibly rapid rate.
And joining us now for more insights on what we might expect is Matt Klink, a Republican strategist with Klink Campaigns in Los Angeles.
So thank you very much for being able to take a look at this with us today.
Yes.
What can we expect big picture?
Well, Donald Trump, I expect, is going to try to do two primary things tonight. I think the first is that he is going to talk about the significant accomplishments that he's achieved over the last 42 days in office. And then two, he will talk about aspirations again, the quote unquote, the golden age of America, or the renewal of the American dream that he referred to in his inauguration speech. And he's going to talk about the things that he wants to do with the economy, with plans for peace around the world, and hopefully for Congress to pass the tax cut extension. So I think that's what he's going to try to do. The question is if he is succinct in doing it. Donald Trump has a way of overspeaking at his campaign rallies. I don't know if that makes for good television for the American viewing public. So that remains to be seen. If he's disciplined, it's a great opportunity. If he rambles, it's not.
What do you think about that as far as his tone? Do you think he'll be, very, very sort of energetic and bold and very confident? Or do you think he'll be more low-key?
You're kidding, right? I'm sort of being tongue-in-cheek there. No, Donald Trump, nothing that Donald Trump does is low-key. I think that he is going to be very, very positive, very assertive with the progress that's been made over the last, 5 weeks in office or 6 weeks in office. And he is going to strike a tone of, he's going to do a couple, the tone of positive for the future but also of fixing the significant damage done to the United States, both domestically and globally, by the Biden and Harris administration.
What are the, aside from, you know, his over speaking, what are the dangers of the speech for him?
The dangers of the speech for him are a couple. One, as I said, is that he goes really long, and he goes off the teleprompter multiple times, and it just rambles around and doesn't really stick to the purpose of the speech. The second is that if you know, we're told that the Democrats are going to bring in props, whether they're noisemakers or egg cartons or red cards, or you know that's rather sophomoric on their part for a State of the Union. Republicans have done it too, and I don't like it when the Republicans do it, nor do I like it when the Democrats do it. It's if he takes the bait and if he suddenly gets nasty and the vitriol comes up, that's what Americans don't like about Donald Trump. They like his change, his change policies. They like the fact that he is decidedly governing in a different way than Joe Biden and Kamala Harris would have. But what they don't like is that when he goes scorched earth on people, and again, it just makes for bad television and poor speech making.
What about the Democrats? What do they need to do to, if they get, again, you know, if it gets rowdy and they're shouting, would that hurt them more than it would to just listen, be respectful, and then do their follow-up? Or, you know, could shouting from the audience, could, you know, comments that are very vocal and loud and rowdy, could that actually hurt them more than the president?
It absolutely could. I think that, Nancy Pelosi, Hakeem Jeffries, and Chuck Schumer have all urged the Democrats to not interrupt the speech. You know, everybody remembers the famous congressman from South Carolina, who, of course, is so famous, I can't remember his name now, who yelled liar to Barack Obama during the speech. That's just bad form. And I think that it doesn't comport with the dignity of the president speaking in the people's house.
Well, you also remember when Marjorie Taylor Greene shouted something and then Biden turned it around.
That's the challenge that, you know, if Donald Trump is effective at pivoting on something like that, you know, once, maybe twice. But if it's nonstop, it doesn't make Donald Trump or the Democrats look good. But right now, Donald Trump is popular, or more popular than congressional Democrats. It's a tough one.
I know you spend a lot of time overseas, and there is an overseas audience for this speech, and particularly I know Europe will be watching. How do you think what does he need to do to either ease the mind of or shake up the overseas audience?
I think he's done a fairly good job of shaking up the overseas audience in his time in office. A couple things. I think one, you saw today of Vladimir Zelensky start to soften his tone on an agreement with the United States. Europe has some painful decisions to make. I mean, let's not forget the Europeans in general spend more money buying Russian natural gas than they do on funding Ukraine. So the Europe, ironically enough, has helped Putin fund the war effort against the Ukrainian people. I think that Europe realizes that a U.S. Engagement and involvement, if this peace with Ukraine is possible, which, by the way, I will point out, peace wasn't even the topic of conversation in Ukraine until Donald Trump became elected. Europe realizes that unless America is engaged, it is virtually impossible for a lasting and durable peace to happen. And there won't be a U.S. security guarantee. The Americans will not tolerate American forces on the ground. So if Europe wants that, they're going to have to step up as peacekeepers. But as I have been reminded, you can't have peacekeepers if you don't have peace.
Historically speaking, well, this isn't actually a State of the Union. It's more of a joint session of Congress. So, but historically speaking, how much of a lasting impact do these addresses actually have? Do they have an impact, or is this just another passing day and the U.S. and the world just moves on because it's just, you know?
You're absolutely right. The lasting impact of today will be minimal unless a major gaffe is made by Donald Trump or by someone in the audience, or something completely shocking from a news standpoint is made. Most of the times, these speeches tend to just be laundry list recitations of accomplishments, and they're forgotten soon after they are said. But I think here it's a little bit different, just because Donald Trump has done so much, and there is such a stark contrast between 4 years of Joe Biden versus 42 days of Donald Trump. I mean, look, he's going to certainly talk about immigration being down, or illegal immigration being down 94% at the southern border. When Joe Biden said it couldn't be lessened unless Congress took action. Well, Donald Trump has proven otherwise. So he's going to be pretty aggressive and assertive in making points like that. But again, if he does it in a way that encourages and brings people together, he needs, I mean, look, we have a debt ceiling coming up on the 14th of March, a week from Friday. And Donald Trump is going to need congressional votes. And right now, if the Republicans don't do it solo, the Democrats are not going to help. And it remains to be seen who's going to be blamed for a government shutdown. But typically, all sides lose.
Hmm. Matt, thanks so much for the insight.
Thank you, Scott. Have a good one.
That was Matt Klink, Republican strategist with Klink Campaigns in Los Angeles.
You've been listening to The Issue from The Voice of America.
On behalf of all of us here at VOA, thanks so much for joining us.
You can get news 24/7 from our website, voanews.com.
In Washington, I'm Lori London.
And I'm Scott Walterman.
We'll talk to you soon.